Certainly good to meet in God's house with God's people. We trust that this is not just a ritual, but it's something that we do that we want to grow thereby. Where is your security? In the day and age we live, where do we find security? In these days we're living, if we think of good economic times, we think we're pretty much in control. Because if you want a job, you can find a job. If you want to make money, you can make money. How often have you thought of the fact that if just one day something would change in your world? Let's say, maybe some of you don't remember the younger ones, but say a gas shortage, that if one day there'd be no more gas coming to the pumps, how long could you function normally? How much would that change your world? How many times is it just one thing in your life that can drastically impact your security, or that drastically does impact your security, but it shouldn't, if our security is based on the right things? The story is told of a 3-year-old that felt secure in his father's arms as his dad stood in the middle of the pool. But Dad, for fun, began walking slowly away towards the deeper end, gently chanting, "Deeper and deeper and deeper." As the water rose higher and higher on the child, the lad's face registered increasing degrees of panic as he held on all the more tightly to his father, who, of course, easily touched the bottom of the pool. Had the little boy been able to analyze his situation, he would have realized that there was no reason for increased anxiety. The water's depth at any part of the pool was way over his head. Even in the shallowest part, had he not been held up, he would have drowned. His safety anywhere in that pool depended on Dad. At various points in our lives, all of us feel like we're getting out of our depths. Problems, losing jobs, someone dies, our temptation is to panic, because we feel like we have lost control. Yet, with that little child in the pool example, there's none of us that really are ever in control. We've always been held up by the grace of God, our Father, and that does not change. God is never out of his depth, and therefore we're safe when we're going deeper as we travel with him. I want to look at 3 points this morning, and the question would come before I give you those points is, and you've heard this term, are you a keeper? Are you a keeper? Well, this morning, that question is not in regards to how you would normally think of someone being a keeper. But I want to look at 3 points. One is, I want to look at keeping the courage. I want to look at keeping the faith, and I want to look at keeping the reward. It's easy when times are going well to be courageous. And I want to look at, if you would turn in 2 Timothy 3, I want to read several verses there, verses 1 through 5. And I understand that, looking in the book of Timothy, that this is actually the Apostle Paul talking to young Timothy and giving him advice, admonishing him, and so on. But we can take from that lessons for ourselves even today. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, they'll be lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such turn away. Not a very nice picture, is it? But brothers and sisters, I think it's the day that we're living in. This is where we're at. We are living in these perilous times. And I even say that we're living in perilous times in spite of living in times of a good economy. And it can be that it's perilous times because of a good economy. It depends on where we place and what we think of our security. But as we think of being a keeper of our courage, of staying strong, 2 Timothy chapter 1, or 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Timothy again is being told by Paul in verse 13 in chapter 1, says, "Hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus." Then in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And I had to think, when he said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, it means that we have to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ for our strength. We have to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ for him to give us that grace, and that is that grace in order to be strong. Because short of Christ living in and through us and us allowing him to move and work through us, we can't apply God's grace to our lives. We don't have the strength to do it. So Paul is telling Timothy to be strong. And the other week when I shared, I shared some out of Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 7, verse 10, the Lord kind of rebuked Joshua. And this was after Achan had sinned. There was sin in the camp. There was things that he had taken that were God had told them not to take. And this was after this huge, huge success of them circling the walls of Jericho and the walls just doing exactly what God said would happen. But in Joshua chapter 7, this terrible thing happened. There was sin in the camp, and Joshua was just distraught. How much of a time span had went on? I don't know. But it couldn't have been real long. And the Lord told Joshua, get up. Stand up. Be courageous. Because we see in the first part of the book of Joshua, there's three times that the Lord had told him, only be strong and be courageous. And then the fourth time, the people told Joshua, we will honor what you say. We will do what you tell us. We will obey what your commands are to us that you are telling us according to what God told you. Only be strong and courageous. Well, it didn't go too long, and Joshua was discouraged. How many times has that happened to you? How many times has that happened to me that you have this huge mountaintop experience, you have this huge victory in your life, and the very next day, you're down? I don't think it's by no accident that Satan knows what goes on in our lives. He knows where our weak points are. He knows how to get us. But Joshua, there in chapter 7, he was whining. He was complaining. And you look at it, it's like, why would he? I mean, he already had seen. I mean, how many of you have ever marched around a city and had the walls collapse according to how God had promised you? He had seen an incredible, incredible miracle. But yet, just that quick, he was down in the dumps. But for us today, we have to live by faith. In order to be courageous, we have to know that what the Bible says is true, but we also have to know what the Bible says in order to know that the Bible is true. We can know the Bible is true, but if we don't read it and apply it to our lives, it doesn't do anything to give us the courage that we need to face each day. And to know the Bible, and to know that we're told that as we live our lives, as time goes on, terrible things will happen. Bad times will come. People will be lovers of themselves. They'll be blasphemous. They'll be ungodly. They'll be unthankful. We already know that's coming. So why are we so shocked? Why are we so surprised when we look out in the world, look around us, and even we look at those that maybe we have looked up to as someone who we could follow, and they've fallen off the wagon. They have left what they were taught. They have left what clear scripture would teach us. And they become lovers of their own selves. It's discouraging. But we have to keep up the courage. We have to know that scripture tells us this is the way it's going to be. For ourselves, looking back at Joshua, we have to keep ourselves in Christ. We have to keep ourselves free from sin. When we're wrong, we need to confess. We need to apologize. We have to understand that sometimes it takes courage even to confront someone when there is sin. It's not an easy thing to do, but we are commanded as God's people to confront. It doesn't matter even how we're received when we do it, but that we know that this is what the Bible says, and we know that this is what God is asking of us. And then we do what God says. We be courageous. Your security. Who and what do you trust in? Does your security come from your business, your cars, your land, your 401k plan, your children? Maybe it comes from your spouse. Last Sunday, at this time, we were going through the funeral service of Lee Byler. Did Carmen have trust in her spouse? Of course she did. Was that a huge blow to lose someone who you trusted? Of course it was. But even in that, she had to realize, she had to come to the point where it's like, no, my security is not in my spouse. My security is in Christ alone. Is your security in our president? There's lots is said today, lots of talk about our president, good and bad. And we like to see what's happening in our economy. We like to see what's happening in our country. It feels like there's godly values coming back to our country. But brothers and sisters, our security still is not in our president. We like, and I think God can use people to promote His will. But our security is not in our government, in our president. For the true security of a believer, we have to live our lives sold out, or we have to be, what we'd say, all in. There is no other recourse. It's said that the early Christians, back in the first century, they didn't out-argue the pagans. They outlived them. It says they made no attempts to conquer paganism and or dead Judaism by reacting blow by blow. Instead, Christians of the first century outthought, outprayed, and outlived the believers. Their weapons were positive, not negative. As far as we know, the early Christians in the first century did not hold protests or conduct boycotts. They did not put on campaigns to try to unseat the emperor. Instead, they prayed, they preached, they proclaimed the message of Christ, put to death on the cross, risen from the dead, and one who is ready to change lives. And they backed up their message with their actions of loving and giving. How does that match up with me today? How does that match up with you today? How am I teaching my children? How have I taught my children? How are you teaching your children today to live out God's will, to live out God's purpose and God's plan, no matter what the circumstances? Looking out for and helping those around us. And as Galatians 6:10 tells us that we are to do good to all men. And it says, especially those of the household of faith. We have a guideline as to how we're to direct our actions, how we're supposed to meter our time in the course of a day, in the course of the week, in the course of a month or a year. We're to do good to all men, but we're supposed to especially do good to those fellow believers are with us. First Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 says, "Since then, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." How do you keep up your courage in today's time? Where is your security? Going on, looking at keeping the faith, keeping our hope for eternal life. Let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I want to read verses 3 through 5. Again, this specifically is a passage that is used when we go to our ministers' meetings. It's a passage that is like specifically addressed for ministers as they lead their congregations. But again, it's very applicable for us here today. Verse 1 in chapter 4, Paul is giving a charge to Timothy, but then we want to start at verse 3. He says again, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me, we are to be watchful in everything." Don't just take something hook, line, and sinker because somebody that you think a lot of or somebody that you respect as a person says something, so therefore it must be true. But it says, "You are to be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry." And I don't know if we live in a time, have ever lived in a time, we probably have, but it seems in the day and age that we live in, who do you listen to? Who is even safe to take counsel from? Who is even safe to say, "Hey, I'll watch that preacher on YouTube. I'll watch that video. And I'm going to pattern my life after the principles that that man is teaching." There's so much out there that is very, very unsafe, dangerous, to the point of even being not true. We can be very careful of who we allow ourselves to listen to as we look at keeping the faith. We cling to the true faith, but we need to talk of our faith to others. We need to encourage others in the faith. And one way of doing that is try talking to other people about them when you're in conversation, rather than talking about yourself. Try to take yourself completely out of the conversation, even if they turn it back on you. That is one huge way of encouraging others, is to allow them to interact with you by you asking them about themselves. Another way is to keep the faith. Don't be overcome with the deceitfulness of riches. And we talked about that, of the times that we live in, of how much wealth there is around, how much ability there is, an opportunity there is to create income, to create money, to do the things and buy the things that we want. How tight is your grip on your stuff? How tight is my grip on my stuff? What would happen if tomorrow everything you have that is of monetary value would be gone? How would that affect you? How do things control your life? We'll be turning to it again, but in Luke 21, verse 34, it says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day comes on you unexpectedly." That day, meaning the day of the Lord, when Christ comes back. Because we get so busy, we get so tuned in to what we're doing, we get so focused to what we're doing and how important everything is on this earth that we lose focus on the heavenly. And again, there's many deceivers. There's many people out there today who are knowingly trying to turn you aside. They're knowingly trying to get you to pull away from Christ. But there's also many out there who really think that they're promoting the name of Christ. We have to be careful. We have to be watchful. And it's okay. I've said it before here. It's okay to not even listen to someone if you suspect that what they're teaching is not right. How many of you heard the statement already that you can't unhear something? Joel, I'm not sure if that's proper English or not, but I think y'all know what I mean. When you cannot unhear something. So sometimes it's a lot better to just never having heard someone who you don't trust, someone who you don't, something doesn't seem right. It's okay to even walk away sometimes. Make sure you know who you're taking advice from. Live your lives in such a way as a holy person. You live your life of faith in such a way that it will allow other people to look at you and they just shake their head because they cannot figure out what is making you tick. What is making you live the way you do? D.L. Moody said that a holy life will make the deepest impression and that lighthouses blow no horns. Now, does that say that we should just live our life and let Jesus shine through? No, we need to speak it too. But sometimes, I think we'd be better off staying quiet. Because if we talk about who Christ is, supposedly in my life, but yet they take and watch how you live, how you walk, it doesn't match up. Let's make sure that our walk matches our talk, and that our talk matches our walk. My third one is keeping the reward. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention to what happens around you. And again, I want to look at Luke chapter 21, and I'll read verse 34, 35, and 36. We already read verse 34, but let's read it again. It says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day comes on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Seems like we heard that already this morning, right? Talking about the Son of Man. That our lives are such that we are worthy, not of ourselves, but we're worthy because of what Christ has done for us and because of how we have committed our lives to Him. That we can face Him unashamedly and saying, "Here I am, here is my life." And to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Luke 21:19 talks about standing firm. And it's just a short verse that says, "By your patience, possess your souls." By your patience, possess your souls. And it's talking about all these things that will happen to you. It talks about being betrayed, abandoned, forsaken, talked down on by your own family, by your own brothers, by your own sisters. And you'll be hated by everyone for the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, "But by your patience, possess your souls." Let it run off of you like water off of a duck's back. Is that easy to do? Who of us here would raise their hand saying that you enjoy when someone comes at you, when someone talks badly about you? There's none of us that enjoy that. There's no one that enjoys being the butt of somebody's joke to being the bad person in somebody's conversation. But by your patience, possess your soul. Then in 1 Peter 3, verses 13 and 14. 1 Peter 3, verses 13 and 14. Talks about continuing to press on. Verse 13, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we are to be ready at all times to answer in keeping the reward in mind, keeping in mind of who we are, why we're here on this earth, what this earth is about. Jay led the song, thank you for that. This world is not my home. We're just passing through. But how many times are people able to see that in my life? How many times are they able to see that in your life, that you have got a very loose grip on this world and on the things of this world? Back in 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit. I was on the 7th floor with the woman I married of a motel that I did not want to be at. I don't like high places. Something happened that set off the sprinkler system in our room. Let me tell you, when they call a sprinkler system, that is a lie. It is not a sprinkler system. It is a blasting system. Prior to that, I was laying on the bed trying to watch the weather on TV because Hurricane Katrina was making landfall as a Category 1 storm in Aventura, Florida. I was looking out and palm trees were bending over, falling into the pool down 7 stories below. All of a sudden, the TV went white with snow because it lost its signal. I was not comfortable. And then all of a sudden, the sprinkler system went off. And I'm telling you, it flooded the bed that I was laying on. It flooded all of our clothes. Diane screamed. Before I could get to the door to open it up, the hotel staff was there. They opened our door. The fire alarms went off. The fire trucks came out. The hotel manager was not impressed. There was no time for jokes. Our floor was flooded. It was going under the floor into the kitchenette area where we were staying. I'd looked out the hallway, and everywhere out there was people like with their doors open, looking out. They came in and said, I don't know if we can give you another room because the facility is full. They did find another one. I think it was on the 9th floor on the very end. Great. That was our third room in 2 nights at that motel. The next morning, we left. We got in our rental car. We took the clothes that we had. They had to be out of the suitcase. And we looked like homeless people. We had all of our stuff, of our clothes and our suitcases, draped across the back dash of the car. We had our clothes draped across the back seat of the car. And anywhere there was a flat spot where maybe a little bit of sun could hit it and possibly dry our clothes. We were going to go to the airport and fly home that day. The airport was not available. It was closed because of the hurricane. We had to drive to, Diane, where'd we go? Sarasota? To another airport in our rental car. I wanted to go home. Oh, I wanted to go. I just wanted to be home in my single story flat. That's all I wanted. I didn't appreciate all this chaos. I didn't like all this stuff going on. And it was totally out of Jerry's control. All these things that were happening. We couldn't even fly out of the airport that we were supposed to fly out. So we had to continue on our journey and drive somewhere else. Who knows what all was going to happen between there and home yet, the hurricane caused a lot of instability, of not being sure of what's going to be happening. I just wanted to go home. I just wanted to get home to the family, be home with my children. It's all I wanted. How do you live your life? Do you want to just go home? When you live out each day and it's like, God, I can't make it anymore. God's not asking you to take and make it for another week. He's just asking you to just take the next step. This world, it's not our home, brothers and sisters. Can we commit to looking out for the good, for the needs of others? How do I know what the needs of those are that are around me, except that I ask questions, except that I involve myself with someone else other than just me, with something else other than just my life, with something else other than just my work? But that I'm out there looking and I'm trying to see what's going on and trying to find out what's happening in other people's lives. But you know, it's so easy for Jerry just to talk about Jerry. It's easy for us to do that. Somebody asks you a question about yourself, you can go into a lot longer detail than what that person was really expecting. But to involve ourselves in other people's lives, to involve ourselves in finding out how they're doing, how was their day, how was their week, how was their month. Can we covenant to work together, to look out for each other, to persevere, to encourage? The story is told, it's been a number of years ago, of a little boy in South Dakota. He wandered away like a 2-year-old young guy. The parents couldn't find him. State police, Boy Scouts, neighbors, and others joined in the search. For 3 days, these hundreds of people moved through the prairie, hoping to find the boy before he succumbed to the elements. On the morning of the 4th day, one of the searchers said, "Why don't we get organized in one long line? We'll join hands and sweep down the prairie until we find the boy." He couldn't have gone very far. They formed a line that was 1/4 mile wide. It says they made an impressive sight as they began to move through the prairie holding hands. On the 3rd sweep, they found the little boy. The cold prairie nights had taken their toll. He was lying dead in a small ditch behind some brush. Gently, the little boy's body was carried back to the mother where she was waiting. When they put the dead boy in his mother's arms, there was complete silence just for a moment. She looked up at the crowd and just said simply, "Why didn't you join hands sooner? Why didn't you join hands sooner?" Brothers and sisters, we need each other to hang on to this reward that we're anticipating. Matthew 24:13 tells us that those of us who stand firm to the end will be saved. We need to join each other. We need to hold on to each other. You need me. I need you. You need us. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Father in heaven, We thank you for the security that we have in you. Father, we recognize that so many times we take for granted that security we have. Father, we recognize that so many times we feel like our life is coming apart, and therefore I have to take things into my own hands. But God, would you help us that as we move forward from this day forward even, to allow you to work and to move and to by faith live our lives, that we would take one step when we know where the light is shining and we would take another step in that direction. God, help us to be faithful to you to the end. God, that we would never lose sight of why we're here on this earth, but that we are looking for a heavenly country, a heavenly city that is not built by man. We recognize heaven as being a real place for God's people, those who have turned away from sin and have turned and allowed Christ to fully live and reign in and through them. Bless this food as we sit around the fellowship meal today. Thank you, God, for each one who so faithfully, again, has brought food to make this possible. Be with us, keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.